If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Welcome in, everybody, to the final edition of the Jacob Draft Special on this 2024 NFL Draft. No, we are not going to be talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, who just struggled and failed and squandered another game. But Johnny Mac, the draft is concluded. Our work after this episode will be concluded for now on this draft until we start back up tomorrow morning on Birds 365. You've sat on it a day, right? You've sat on the final results at least for a day now. Where are you on the draft? What do you think of what they did in the draft? Especially, we did a big day three recap last night, but that day one looks really good. The day two looks really good. Where are you on the draft and what you're thinking of it now?
I think it was a solid draft from the perspective. I always say about the Eagles, what impresses me most about the Eagles is what they usually do makes sense. So it doesn't mean you're going to hit on every pick. It doesn't mean Anaya Smith is going to be your slot receiver from day three. It doesn't mean Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to be a starting off-ball linebacker as a day three pick. It doesn't mean Trevor Keegan's going to make the team and Dylan McMahon's going to turn into the next Jason Kelce. But it does mean that they do things the right way. And if you make good decisions, the more times you stack those good decisions, the more favorable outcomes you will have. And that's sort of where the Eagles separate themselves from most teams. There's other smart teams, Baltimore. I love Pittsburgh and what they did.
Yeah, Pittsburgh had a great draft.
Yeah, Andy Weidel, you know, formerly of the of the Eagles, running the personnel department there. So that's what the Eagles do, and that's what it's impressive. And you mentioned the Sixers, and welcome in all the Sixers fans. I'm sure they're disappointed. Yeah. Talk about a team that makes good decisions as opposed to one that doesn't necessarily make great decisions. And that's what I say about the Eagles. Nobody's going to say – anybody can sit there and declare so-and-so, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper, DeJean, Jalix Hunter are going to be great, great, great players. And they can say the Eagles don't even know that.
Right.
But they're good prospects. And if things break the right way, you could have something special down the line. You know, Atlanta, it starts with Atlanta. If you think about them paying over $100 million for a quarterback and then drafting another quarterback, number 8 overall, that's an example. That doesn't make any sense.
Regardless of the player, that doesn't make sense.
Right. And it might work out for him. Right. And that's the thing about decision-making here from all these far brighter people than me. If you make a good decision, it doesn't guarantee a good outcome. But to conflate that to, make a bunch of bad decisions and things are going to work out well for you. No, if you consistently make good decisions, the odds will tilt in your favor. And that's sort of the Eagles process, and they make good decisions.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at the draft too. You know, like you said, nobody knows who these, if these players are going to be great, terrible or not, but you can judge the decision-making, you can judge the process that they went into it. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, just how much Howie has improved in that process and the decision-making goes into it. But, you know, I keep pointing to that example of Cooper DeJean. They waited on him in the second round, then they traded up and boom, you saw a little run on cornerback. So just a great decision, great reading of the board there, which is a testament to the process, which is really what you're analyzing at this point. These guys haven't been given helmets yet. They haven't gone to camp. They've never played an NFL snap. So from that perspective, it's tough, but I agree with you. The decision-making that they have is, it's amazing. It's great to watch. I mean, I know not everybody's a PFF fan. John, I know you are a PFF guy. I like PFF as well. They graded the Eagles at an A+, you know, and I think a lot of that those grades go into the decision-making that you're talking about. I think it was only three teams got an A+, them, the Steelers, and was it the Titans or one other team got a...
Well, and I am, you know, I have a lot of respect for those guys and what they do, but, you know, draft grades are silly, and I'll say that with an A+, and I'll say that with an F, because I just, you know, gave you an example with Atlanta. Look, that's a dumb decision. They're going to get a bad grade. You know, but if Michael Penix Jr. turns into a great player, doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Literally doesn't matter. So what it is, you're grading the decision-making. And yeah, then I say that's what the Eagles do. They make good decisions. Doesn't guarantee Quinyon Mitchell's going to be an all-pro corner or Cooper DeJean's going to be an all-pro corner or safety or wherever they play him. Jalix Hunt may be the next Davion Taylor. Or he might be the next Max Crosby. Yeah. Anybody who says they know what it's going to be is lying to you. You know, but that's what the draft is. It's a recap. And I get everybody likes grades. Real grades only matter. You know, I was talking to a GM once and he told me, hey, who gets a second contract? That's a real grade with their original team. That's a successful pick. And then there's a lot of context from that. I mean, day three picks we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you get 4 years out of a day three pick, that's a successful pick from a GM standpoint. Might not be a great player, but if you get a contribution for 4 years, that's a good pick. So, you know, day after, grades are what they are. And if you don't like a particular grade, same thing when I say with a mock draft, throw it out and look at the next one. That's what I would recommend. But the Eagles make good decisions. And sometimes it pisses me off because I'd like to criticize them a little bit more, but it's tough to do at times because they,
yeah, I mean, and when you're not grading players, you're grading decisions. That the Eagles have certainly swung the pendulum in their favor of consistently making those good decisions. Speaking of decisions, I want to get your opinion on. They made the decision, and obviously this is the way the board fell, but they go cornerback, and I know Cooper DeJean is a defensive back, but for the sake of the conversation, corner, 1-2 for the Eagles. That's not what Howie Roseman is typically doing. What do you think of that evolvement of Howie or that evolution of Howie? And we talked about it a little bit last night, just how he's able to look at what he's done wrong in the past, learn from it, grow from it, and be better and build a better team in the future. What do you think of the decision to go corner, 1-2?
Well, I don't think it was a decision to go corner. I think it was a decision where as you got into day two of the draft, Cooper DeJean was one of the few players the Eagles had a first-round grade on, and as he started to sink a little bit, then I said, all right, let's go up and get him. It was about the player. It wasn't about the position. So the bad decision would have been, we have a first-round grade on him, but we already took a cornerback. That's a bad decision. So if you're in a position to go get a guy, and the Eagles probably had, and I'm just guessing how he didn't tell me, but they never have 32. They probably had about 20, somewhere between 20 and 25 first round grades. And they got two of them in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So it wasn't about he came into the draft and say, I'm going to go corner, corner. He came into the draft and he got one player. And then as the board fell, he had an opportunity to get another player they really liked who happened to play the same position in college. It wasn't about going corner, corner.
Well, it wasn't. But at the end of the day, this team was a team that has stacked offense. I mean, they had a stacked offense last year from a roster perspective. We talked about it all year. Their roster on offense was as good as any in the league with AJ and Devontae and Jalen and the offensive line. They added Saquon Barkley. So from an offensive perspective, whether that they chose to make that decision or not is beside the point in terms of this team needed defense. Everybody knew they needed defense. And then they go out and get two first-round grades for players on defense. I think that's a win no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, it is a win, but just trying to the overall philosophy.
It wasn't coming to the draft saying we're going to take two.
Yeah. It just happened to be. And again, I brought up yesterday on the show that, you know, he's asked specifically about offensive line. He thought coming into the draft, he was going to get an offensive lineman, but the board didn't fall the right way. And he doesn't go offensive line to the fifth round. So it wasn't, I think that's always misconstrued, and that's why I try to hammer the point. And whether, you know, if you go all the way back to the Lito Shepherd draft and Howie wasn't in charge then, and maybe there are teams that go in their draft and say, and there are, by the way, there have been in history, because I saw one of them, Green Bay, as a reaction to when the Vikings got Randy Moss. The next year, they went corner, 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 I think, three consecutive cornerbacks. And they went into that draft saying, we got to deal with Randy Moss. So it does happen. But that's not the Eagles' philosophy. At least under Howie Roseman. Maybe it was back when they took Lito Shepherd, Sheldon Brown, and Michael Lewis. Maybe they said, you know what, we're going to repopulate, because I wasn't here at the time, we're going to repopulate the secondary. I'm saying the 2024 Eagles don't approach things like that. So you'll hear a lot of people saying they were going to go get cornered. They weren't. It's how the board fell.
Yeah,
it's how the board fell.
Yep, and you know, the 14 offensive players to start the first round, obviously was a big part of that. Speaking of decisions, there's one guy. Let me pull up actually real quick for our listening audience. Obviously, this is a full draft recap, so I will just bring up real quick the full list of names the Eagles did take. Round one, they took Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. Round two, took Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa. Round three, Jalix Hunt, and we'll talk about Jalix in a second. Outside linebacker, edge rusher from Houston Christian. Round four, 127, Will Shipley, running back out of Clemson. Round five, 152, Anais Smith, wide receiver, Texas A&M. Round five, 155, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson. Round five, 172, Trevor Keegan, offensive guard from Michigan. Round six, 185, Johnny Wilson, humongous wide receiver from Florida State. And then to close it out, round six, 190, Dylan McMahon, offensive lineman, offensive center from NC State. So pretty good looking draft board. But John, we just talked a lot about decisions. And I do think leaving player evaluation out, the one decision in this draft that could be criticized or is open to criticize would be the Jalix Hunt pick in round three. Day two. Day two, you're more looking for impact guys. Even if Jalix turns out to be a tremendous player, I would say it's, what, 2-3 years down the line. So I think there's a world where you can criticize the decision-making in that pick. What's your opinion of their move to go with a project type of player there?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's the one pick you can say, all right, maybe you could have gone – in a different direction. And, you know, you are taking a very raw prospect, and the Eagles essentially admitted that. And Howie explained his thinking. And they traded down a couple times. Yeah, they right. understood that they could get him a little bit later. So you have to factor in that as
well. It's almost
well,
like you got the player and two picks next year, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you have to factor that in as well. But still, you know, and this is a much less example of what people would say about trading Hassan Reddick. Well, you're trying to win this year. So what is Jalen Hunt going to do for you in the 2024 Eagles? Probably not much, if you're being honest. But again, you're trying to serve those two masters. You're trying to get a big-time player. Vic Fangio evidently loved him. And they didn't think if they – you know, because I don't know if you heard, but I asked Howie about that pause, because you see it every year now, when, since they've shifted from 3 days of the to 3 days of the draft. You have that pause after round one, and almost always, after thinking about it overnight, somebody goes up near the top of the draft to get a player they really, really want on both days. So at the start of the second round, and that's the start of the fourth round. Almost all the time, the Eagles themselves went up to get Cooper DeJean at the 40th pick, which is still relatively early. And last year, they went up in the fourth round to get Kelee Ringo with, I believe, the third pick in the fourth round. They went way up. And other teams do that as well. So his thought process, and we'll never know, is that if they waited to round four and they started the process at 120, obviously they didn't take that pick, but they don't think he would have been there at 120, and you really like the player, and you take him at 94. So I can't kill him for it, but I understand people who would say, maybe you're getting a little too cute. And I use that because that's exactly what Howie described it as. He didn't want to get too cute. And I think maybe he did get too cute in the opposite fashion and talk himself into it, because, you know, he mentioned DJ Daniel Jeremiah's, you know, as they went down the NFL network, and they would always pop up DJ's best remaining players, and Jalen Hunt was at the top of it. Maybe talked himself into other teams getting him. We'll never know if they would have been able to get him in the fourth round. And they like the player. So if you like the player, go get him.
Yeah, and sometimes that's part of it that goes in.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know, you're throwing darts in the draft. If you love a player, forget where you're taking them and just take them. So there may be some of that went into it. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in right now. I see everybody in the chat box. You guys have been amazing all week.
Depressed over that Sixers loss. They got to get some good news.
They're fired up about the draft, though, Johnny Mac. That's why they're tuning in right now. They're forgetting.
I don't know. I assume they lost, by the way.
I think they did. Joel Embiid didn't have his first point of the fourth quarter until about 50 seconds remaining. But yeah, there's Crowley saying, I am depressed with the Sixers. But I do want to thank you guys all for checking in. You guys were tremendous all weekend long. You guys make the channel. You guys really make it. So this channel is nothing without our viewers and our loyal listeners who tune in every single day. And we appreciate it if you guys could do us a favor and drop a like on the show, help us reach more Eagles fans, help us grow the network and grow the platform. We would appreciate that greatly. John, I want to ask you, you spoke now with, I'm not sure if you caught up with Anais or Johnny yet.
Not yet.
But yesterday you said something that was interesting, and you spoke to the character, at least this what seemed to be, it was a first impression, but a tremendous character of their fourth round pick, which was the running back, Will Shipley, the running back out of Clemson. What else did you take away from, and you can speak to Will too, but Anything else that stood out when you talk to these guys? Not everybody has a chance to listen to them, listen to the full press conferences. You're obviously in the mix. You're down at NovaCare. Anything you took away from just what you talked to these guys about? Because I think personality, I think who some of these players are really does play into whether they'll make it in the NFL or not. And you have an upfront look at these guys up front. I just want to give you a chance to comment on what you thought of it or what you made of it.
Well, the Howie said the Eagles have a designation called a red star player. And right. I think no matter how many times I explain this, a lot of people don't listen. It's not blue chip. Jalen Carter was a blue chip player. Red star to the Eagles means they have everything off the field. They have tremendous character, tremendous football and intelligence. They fit the culture that they want in the building. Good teammates, good in the community, all that kind of stuff, which doesn't guarantee you're going to be a good football player, but it's just this designation. I'm trying to explain the designation the Eagles have with these particular players. Last year, they got one red star player. It was Sidney Brown. They felt he was a red star player from their perspective. This year, they got five. And they only give it out to less than 20 players a year. And Howie says they got five. Now, I imagine at some point he'll let us in on who they are. What's kind of scary is I can't even whittle it down to five, you know, from talking to these guys. But Shipley's one of them. Shipley's 100% one.
John, real quick, does Red Star player leave out evaluation of talent? Is it more the intangibles of a player, the personality, the characteristics, the confidence, the will to win, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's more of that stuff, but you know, they're not drafting players they don't think that could be NFL players as well. So, but it's more leaning towards
the player in the fifth round could get a red star.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I said. I put that on Twitter. I say that because I put it on Twitter and I said Will is definitely one of them. No question about it. 100%. Nick Sirianni raved about him, 4.0 grade point average. Everything about him is just impressive. Definitely one. Then I kind of speculated who the other four would be. And I got the immediate Quinyon Mitchell's the best player. I'm not talking about blue chip player. Obviously, Quinyon Mitchell is the most talented player the Eagles got. I'm talking about their own organizational red star category, which is what, as you described it, and all those intangibles, whether you want to call character, football integrity, you know, football competitiveness, all the stuff Nick Sirianni talks right. about with his core values. And I'm thinking, you could say it about Jalex Hunt. That stinking kid went to Cornell, for people who don't realize, before he transferred to Houston Christian. It could be Jeremiah Trotter Jr. It could be Trevor Keenan. In fact, it is Trevor Keenan because he was a captain at Michigan, and Dylan McMahon, who was a captain at NC State. It could be Cooper DeJean, and it could be Quinyon Mitchell because they have tremendous respect for his willingness to stay at Toledo when Alabama was trying to get him to finish his career there. So it could be Quinyon Mitchell. There's five of these guys, but the one guy I'm 110% positive. It's Will Shipley's one of them. No question about it.
Now, if I brought up the list of draft picks, do you think you can give us your five? Your
Yeah, I already did. I think it's Will. I think it's Trevor Keenan. I think it's Dylan McMahon. Those are three. I'm very confident those are three. And then I picked Jalex Hunt and Cooper yeah. DeJean. Right. Those are my get. That's my get. It could be Jeremiah, though, too. I really could. Now, I didn't talk to Anaya Smith and Johnny Wilson, so that's part of the reason I leave them out. And it could be Quinion as well. It's pretty amazing the group of young men they brought in. And that's no guarantee they're going to be great football players, but it is a guarantee that they're going to probably reach their ceiling as players because of their character and competitiveness and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so pretty good stuff. I mean, if they landed 5 red stars and last year they only got one of two things happened. They got better.
They had more red star players.
Yeah, or the definition of red star player has potentially been watered down in the last year. I guess that could be.
Well, I got to tell, for anybody who saw that press conference, because the Eagles put these things on their social media. Anybody go back and watch Will Shipley's interview with reporters after getting I guarantee you're impressed. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I did listen to as much of it as I could. A lot of these guys are very impressive. And look, I know everybody cares about what these guys can do on a football field, and that's at first and foremost for winning football games for the Philadelphia Eagles. I care about stuff like that. That might just be me, and I'm perfectly okay with that. But my opinion is I think character matters a lot. I think the way a guy handles himself matters a lot. You know, there's an old saying, how you do anything is how you do everything. So when you get a guy that is on top of his game like that, I think that says a lot about what he could add to your locker room culture, to your team, to all those other things. And then you add in the talent and you got yourself a good NFL player.
Yeah. And you know, it's no, as I said, Sidney Brown had a decent rookie year, but he wasn't spectacular. I still think he's got tremendous potential, and hopefully he already looks ready to go from the torn ACL. He's not, obviously, because it takes a certain amount of time to heal. But if you see him, he's just tremendously athletic. You saw that with the 99-yard touchdown return he had. But already looks ready to go. He's been at some charity things in the past, and he's moving around very well. But, yeah, I mean, to get 5 of them, either they watered it down, but talking to a lot of these guys, I mean, it's hard to get, you know, captains. And Trevor Keegan, as I mentioned, is the captain at Michigan, the national champions. Right. Dylan McMahon's a captain at NC State, and he's this tremendous athlete for a center. Does that sound familiar?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's no guarantee, but it is a guarantee. What the guarantee is, they're going to reach their ceiling. That's the guarantee.
John, we talked a little bit about it yesterday in terms of, and this is a projection. I'm asking you to project. Obviously, I know it's very tough to be able to tell, but we talked a little bit about how Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has a great chance to have an impact solely because of the way the roster is set up, right, with the linebacker position. What other player, what other draft pick besides, I would say, Quinion Mitchell, do you project to have a role on this team in year one? When I say role, they're in the rotation, they have snaps, they're making plays on Sundays. What other boys are you projecting, or what other guys are you projecting from this class?
Cooper will have an opportunity. Can't tell you where it's going to be. It could be the slot, could be safety, could be corner. But he should have an opportunity to get on the field, at least contribute relatively early. And then Anaya Smith might have that path to compete at least in the slot as the wide receiver 3. But, you know, I hesitate to count out those two fifth round picks, and you know, 3 picks apart. One was 152, one was 155. Anaya Smith and Jeremiah Trotter. They have passed clear past the playing time. Doesn't mean they're going to earn it. Where you look at Cooper DeJean, you know, outside corner is going to be Slay and Mitchell. So he's probably not going to play there unless somebody gets hurt. Slot corner, Abonte Maddox. We'll see. Cast of thousands. Maybe that's the spot for him. Safety, you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship. Maybe he can beat out Reed Blankenship, but it's a tougher path, whereas Anaya Smith, he's got to beat out Paris Campbell. You know, Jeremiah Trotter, he's got to beat out Devin White or N'Kobe Dean. It's probably, I wouldn't count on that, but it's certainly possible because those aren't some of the Eagles' best players when you talk about Paris Campbell, Devin White, and N'Kobe Dean at this stage.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, is it the guys that are least likely to make a contribution in 2024? Jalix Hunt, Dylan McMahon?
Yeah, I mean, when you're down at, you know, 190, and I would say Johnny Wilson got very small chance. Might even be a practice squad guy to start. Yeah, Dylan McMahon, it's going to be very difficult. Trevor Keenan, it's going to be very difficult. The Eagles are obviously very good on the offensive line. Nor as it should be. We're talking about 172, 185, and 190. I mean, anybody who's expecting those guys to step in and play is yeah, you're being way too optimistic. I will say that. And Will Shipley, I mean, he's going to be the third back. So, you know, you might see him if Saquon Barkley gets hurt. But other than that, he's not going to get much as far as playing time either. So, and as you mentioned, Jalix Hunt is going to be more of a developmental player. So if you're looking for guys who are going to have roles, I would say, obviously, Quinyon Mitchell. Cooper DeJean, I think, will have a role. We'll see what it is. And that'll start a rookie camp, and maybe it'll even tip their hand on where they want to start them at. And then Smith and Trotter have at least a path to earning playing time. Everybody else, you know, multiple injuries. And if you do see them, it's probably not a good thing.
Yep, the journey starts now, as you always say. It doesn't end on draft day, it begins. So now's the time you develop the players and you make them able to contribute for your football team. I want everybody in the chat to give a shout-out to our man Johnny Mac. We're going to finish up here shortly. John's going to grill some grub tonight. He's going to have a nice cookout after a long weekend,
Yeah, and people don't listen. By the way, I said N'Kobe Dean isn't one of the Eagles' better players. And everybody's saying I called him the worst linebacker.
N'Kobe Dean is not one of the Eagles' better players. I don't even think that's an opinion. That's not disputable.
Open your ears, people. Come on.
There's Crowley giving you a shout out though. John, I know you see the haters, but there's a lot of people that love Johnny Mack out there too. Their voices just might not be heard as much. So I do want to give a shout out to you, sir. You put in the time, you put in the work this weekend, and I know it's tough covering these drafts. And you were all over the place. You were on all over Jacob Sports. You were down at NovaCare. So pretty good stuff by you. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning on Birds 365. But an ode to you, sir. Go and enjoy some nice grilled and grubbed food and enjoy your time with your family and your wife.
Yeah. And sorry about the Sixers, guys.
Yeah. Well, everybody's high on the Eagles draft. So they have that to fall back on right now.
But, yeah, and there's always there's always game five, but probably not more than game five. So that's about it.
We'll see how it goes. All right, everybody. Thanks for checking in. Make sure you like the show on the way out. Drop us a comment to show some love to Johnny Mack. We appreciate it. I will make sure he sees it, whether he wants to see it or not. I will force him to read some of the comments. So drop us a like, drop us some comments, showing some love to Johnny Mack. John, we appreciate all your work this weekend. I know all the fans do. I know I do as well. I learned a lot talking to you, obviously, the last couple of days. And I think the Eagles, overall, I would say the Eagles did a pretty good job. As we talked about in the beginning, this is a decision-making process where you're judging their decision making, and it certainly looks like Howie made good decisions and the whole front office made good decisions. So pretty good stuff. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.